الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة آل عمران lists for us a number of characteristics of the muttaqin. And what's unique about this section of the Quran, or these ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the muttaqin, you find that the discussion started off with Jannah. Allah said, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah spoke about the muttaqin. Allah said, Jannah was prepared for the muttaqin. So you hear the title of muttaqin. And you know that in order to be granted entry into paradise, into Jannah, I must be from amongst the muttaqin. And that's our ultimate goal, Jannah. That is what we want. Ask any Muslim, no matter what level of iman that person may be on, no matter what level of spirituality he or she enjoys, ask any individual that what is your ultimate goal and what is your ultimate desire. And I think that every Muslim will say Jannah, paradise. So you hear of paradise, you hear of al-muttaqeen. So we find that Allah starts off the discussion with paradise, and then He mentioned these qualities, right? Allah spoke of their spending. When it's easy to spend and when it is difficult to spend, they spend. And again, what we mentioned over there, that spending or giving is not confined to wealth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned another attribute of theirs, and that is al-kadhimin al-ghayb. They swallow their anger, they suppress their anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of another attribute, which we discussed over the past two evenings. Wal-afin anin nas. One level higher than suppressing anger is to forgive. Forgive the person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this evening's discussion, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves al-muhsinin. Third attribute of the muttaqin. So first attribute was al-kadhimin al-ghayb. They swallow the anger, they suppress the anger. Then they go one step ahead. Higher than that is forgiving the person, completely forgiving the person. Never reminding him or her of the wrong that they had done to you. A step higher than kadhimin al-ghayb is afina lin-nas. They forgive, and then Allah says, and a step higher than that, a level higher than that, Allah loves al-muhsinin. Who are al-muhsinin? They are those who have developed the quality of ihsan. Ihsan within themselves. What is ihsan? Ihsan is excellence. That's a believer. You are always striving for excellence and you are always aspiring to achieve perfection in your relationship with Allah. It's an ongoing process, brothers and sisters. It never ends. Ramadan is just that exercise that makes you realize what life is all about, or what it is that I need to achieve and aspire for. That's all that it is. But that aspiration and that desire to earn and attain excellence is not confined to Ramadan. Ramadan is just that boost. 11 months, what happens is, month by month, we become weaker. And I mentioned this previously, I don't know if it was in the Taraweeh program or in the Fajr program, but understand something. Many of us feel that I am required, after the month of Ramadan, now I am required to maintain the same level of spirituality. That's impossible. Let's be realistic. That's impossible. That's not the objective of Ramadan. The objective of Ramadan is not that the next 11 months you are required to spend them maintaining the exact same level of religiosity and spirituality you maintain in Ramadan. It's not the objective, and let's be honest, it's not possible. Everyone, after the month of Ramadan, there is a drop, right? Some quicker than others. Some fall quicker than others. But everyone, they experience a drop in that level of spirituality that they enjoyed in Ramadan. And what is the objective of Ramadan? Don't drop so low where you started Ramadan. That's the point. You will drop after Ramadan. It's natural. You are going to fall, but don't fall so low down where you started in the beginning of Ramadan. Then you have failed. So, let's take a simple example. Before Ramadan, there was no Quran. Maybe I recited Quran on Friday night. Or maybe Friday. That was it. Once a week, there was some tilawah, some recitation. Daily tilawah, nothing. I'm just citing an example. Daily tilawah, I had no daily tilawah in my life. I didn't have the time. So it was at zero. Let's put a figure to it. Right? So my tilawah was at zero. In Ramadan, mashallah, I made the time. Listen, brothers and sisters, you never get the time. You never find the time. You got to make the time. مَن تَفَرَّغَ لِعِبَادَتِي Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that person who will make the time for my ibadah. Very often we hear the complaint or the excuse, I can't find the time. You're not going to find it. You're going to make it. Like everything else in your life. You make the time. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَن تَفَرَّغَ لِعِبَادَتِي Make the time for my worship. Ramadan, you did it. Make the time for my ibadah. أَمْلَأْ صَدْرَكَ غِنًا I will fill your heart with contentment. I'll fill your heart with contentment. We all are in search of contentment. We're looking in the wrong places, brothers and sisters. Happiness, contentment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do that. And Allah says, if you don't do it, وَإِلَّا تَفْعَلْ If you don't take out time daily, if recitation of the Quran does not feature on my daily schedule, dhikr does not feature on my daily schedule, salah does not feature on my daily schedule, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا تَفْعَلْ If you don't make the time, you don't make the time for my worship, Allah says, أَمْلَ I will fill your hands with work. You'll be busy. 7 to 8, you'll be busy. أَمْلَ يَدَيْكَ شُغْلَى You'll be busy hopping from one meeting to another meeting, one commitment to another commitment, one transaction to another transaction, one phone call to another. You'll be hopping about. And Allah says, guess what? You'll still remain in a state of need and want. You'll be so busy, but you'll still be in a state of need and want. So what's the objective then of Ramadan? As we said, so before Ramadan, I was on zero. My tilawah. In Ramadan, mashallah, I recited 10 pages a day. Again, I'm just citing an example. Alhamdulillah, throughout Ramadan, it was 10 pages a day. I took out the time. I had a target. And I recited 10 pages a day. Now, when you finished Ramadan, every day, you had tilawah of 10 pages in your life. Now, after Ramadan, you are going to drop. Natural. As I said, it happens to everyone. You can't maintain the same level of spirituality. Why? Now you are at battle. You're back on the battlefield. Some of us, you know, we have this perception and we have this idea that in Ramadan we are at battle. No. Ramadan is not when you are at battle. After Ramadan, that's when the battle starts. Now the devils are there. The satanic influences are there. And now the demands of society are there once again. Society demands this from me. Society demands that from me. Society demands I must dress like this. Society demands I must eat over here. Society demands I must drive this. In Ramadan, you don't care about society, sir. None of us cares about society. On the day of Eid already, there are demands of society. What I should wear, what I should eat, where I should eat, who I should invite, who I should greet. Already, there are demands of society. So you are going to drop. But you started off Ramadan, and mashallah, you ended off Ramadan with 10 pages of daily recitation of Quran in your life. Now, when you drop, don't drop down to zero where you started in Ramadan. You drop to 5, alhamdulillah. If you have dropped to 5, Now, right until the next Ramadan, there's 5 pages of tilawah in your life. Next Ramadan, you're not starting at zero where you started this Ramadan. Next Ramadan, you're starting at 5 pages. So if you start next Ramadan at 5 pages, you are going to try how much? 15 pages a day, next Ramadan. After next Ramadan, when you drop, you'll drop to 10 pages. The third Ramadan, you start at 10 pages. Alhamdulillah. That's what Ramadan is all about. Now ask yourself, I've been through so many Ramadans. Am I starting at zero? Every Ramadan, am I starting it at zero? And that's the problem. That's the problem. And I'm just giving tilawah of the Quran as an example. This should apply to everything. My dhikr of Allah. If every Ramadan I'm starting it at zero, then Ramadan is not working for me. Not because there's a problem with Ramadan, because there's a problem with my attitude and my perception about what Ramadan is. And some of us, we have this idea that I must maintain that same level of spirituality after Ramadan. So I try after Ramadan, mashallah, after Eid, I say, hey, you know what? I was doing 10 pages. Alhamdulillah, it's good. If you can maintain, try and maintain that level of spirituality for as long as you can. But you know where the problem comes in? When you feel you've dropped, you say, ah, man, I'm dropping. Let me just give it up. No, don't give it up. You are going to drop. Just don't drop all the way back down to where you had started. Moving on, so we said, the next attribute of the muttaqeen. So Allah says, al-kaazimeen al-ghayb. Right, they suppress the anger. They swallow the anger. Wal-afeen anin nas. They forgive the one who had angered them. And then, wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Allah loves those who strive for excellence. Allah loves excellence in deen. That you should, you know, that's why, brothers and sisters, what is very important for us to do, may Allah give us all the tawfiq to do this, is what is called muhasabah. Muhasabah, what's muhasabah? At the end of the day, sit for 5 minutes, start with 5 minutes. And this is how, you might ask yourself, okay, how do I start this whole process of achieving excellence in my worship? Take one ibadah. The most important ibadah is salah. Right? So every day before you go to bed, right, or at any time during the day, but the best time is at the end of the day, right? Spend 5 minutes thinking about your salah for that day. Spend 5 minutes thinking, and I just heard this from one of the mashayikh last night. Allah, alhamdulillah, sometimes this audio, live streaming, and that helps. Let us use this technology to our advantage. Last night, one of the mashayikh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them, they are our fountainheads and they are our sources of guidance. Without them, we will be lost. And attach yourself to a pious personality. The first step, the stepping stone towards reformation and changing your life, hook up. Okay, let me use the word hook up. Okay? But develop a relationship. We are so blessed, brothers, in this country. Wallahi, we are so blessed. We are spoiled for choice. There are so many masajid, wonderful programs taking place by wonderful mashayikh. Allah has placed them there. Let us benefit from them. You know, link up with them. Just be connected with them. You'll see just the connection with them, you'll experience reformation and transformation in your life. So the Sheikh was saying, muhasabah. The importance of muhasabah. So just take your salah for now, right? For 1 month. I'm going to spend 5 minutes a day pondering over my salah for that day. Let me start with Fajr Salah. Fajr Salah. Did I make it for Takbiratul Ihram? Did I make it for the first Takbirah? Great, great benefits. To read your salah with the first Takbirah. We don't have time to go into the benefits. But a lot of benefits. Did I make my Fajr with the first Takbirah when the Imam said, Allahu Akbar, was I there or was I not there? If I was not there, what held me back? Let me ask myself now, this is muhasabah. Why didn't I make it for Takbiratul Ihram this morning at Fajr? Let me ask, this is Ihsan. We spoke about, what are we discussing tonight? An attribute of the Muttaqeen, Ihsan. Excellence. Aspiring for excellence in your life. Okay. It was my sleep. Or maybe I spent too much time in the bathroom. Or maybe I pressed the snooze button more than I should have pressed it. Okay, so it is a problem that can be overcome. Now what you're doing, this is muhasabah. Okay, alhamdulillah, if you made it for the first takbirah with the imam, Fajr Salah, next question. What was the level of my concentration in Salah during Fajr? Take each Salah. 5 minutes a day. Spend a minute on each Salah. Let me go Dhuhr. Dhuhr. Did I make Dhuhr with Jama'ah today? No. Why not? What held me back? What was it that held me back? And then you try and identify the problem. So you try the next day. If you are facing the same problem the next day, you'll try what? To avoid that issue, because that's the problem that kept me away from Jama'ah. Right. Then move on to Asr. Move on to Maghrib. Move on to Isha. Move. Just start with your fard. Your 5 fard salah a day. Then go on to your sunnah. And like this, just give it a month and just start off with salah. You will see a difference. In just over a few weeks' time, you'll see a difference in your salah. And then you take every aspect of deen like this, ibadah. Do this from this Ramadan to the next Ramadan. When next Ramadan comes, subhanAllah, you will find that really this Ramadan, this month of Ramadan 1440, did really do something for you, and you walked away with something from Ramadan. Of course, things that are haram, they are haram. Those things, I mean, if something is haram, you're not going to say, okay, well, you know what, when I started off Ramadan, I was doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that are haram. It's okay if I fall back to 2. No, that's haram. There you don't fall back onto those things. And you know, I was just thinking, it's so easy for us to abide by the traffic bylaws. It's so easy for you to stop at the red robot. Right? It's so easy for you and I to do that. Why? You know, it's illegal, it's a crime. And so many other traffic bylaws and so forth. It's so easy for us to stay away from haram. It's so easy for us to stay away from sin. It's just that we need to develop that attribute of the muttaqeen. The attribute we spoke of. That they are conscious. Allah consciousness. Always on guard. Always careful. That is the salient attribute of the muttaqeen. So in tonight's session, we have learned of another attribute of the muttaqeen. And what is that? Ihsan. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. So let's take it now into context. So the first level was what? Somebody did you wrong? You suppressed your anger. Maybe you suppressed your anger, but you have not forgiven the person. Allah says, no, the muttaqeen, they don't just suppress the anger. After suppressing the anger, wal'afin anil nas, they forgive the person completely for what they had done. And then, a step further, Allah loves the muhsineen, they go one step ahead, they respond to that person with kindness. That is wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. So the person did you something wrong, you suppressed the anger, you forgave the person, and you buy the person a little gift. That's just an example. That is wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. And I'll end on this incident. There was I'm not too sure if it was a sahabi or a tabi'i. A tabi'i is one who did not meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he met the sahaba. And he was about to perform wudu. So his slave girl brought the water for him. And as she brought the water for him, she was a bit careless, and the entire utensil fell to the ground and it spilled in front of this personality. And she realized that he became upset. Right? So she quickly read the verse, والكاظمين الغيظ. And who are the muttaqeen? Those who suppress the anger. So subhanAllah, you know, he heard the verse, he suppressed his anger. He said, كَظَمْتُ غَيْظِي. He said to her, I have suppressed my anger. Then she said, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And who are the muttaqeen? Those who completely forgive. So he says, عَفَوْتُكَ. I have forgiven you. And then she said, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The third attribute. And Allah loves the muhsineen. Another attribute. He said, I have set you free. SubhanAllah. That is, you find that this person, this personality, in that one sitting, he practically displayed the attributes and the qualities of the muttaqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.